much about.
Level test one, check, check two, hot mic two, you know, ha 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 ha. Woo, check one, two, blah, 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 blah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Turn around. Slowly, keep your hands up so you can see how you look. Turn around. It look like you stole a midget pants. Big as you is. How short the pants look. And they up under your behind. And how skinny they are. You can't even pull them up. Girls don't even wear their pants that tight. Pull them up. Big as you is, you about to be 16. Looking like you got a 10-year-old pair of pants on. I know your nuts hurt.
And now,
Austin, you're on the air. Good morning. We're doing open phones.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yep. Thanks.
Our feature presentation.
Poor guy.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning.
I know your nuts hurt.
That's a weird thing to say to your son.
Yeah, it kind of is. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey there, Bean.
I missed you on Friday.
Oh, we missed you, too. You missed an amazing morning. We had a great time.
I was watching.
Yeah, same, my friend.
Not the same, my friend.
It is for Bean, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Really.
That's how he prefers it.
Yeah. Not the same as having Lex's butt 4 feet from your face. I get it.
Nope.
It was quite a pageant. It was not the greatest weather you could have ever hoped for the Miss Double December pageant, but everybody seemed like they were having a pretty good time.
It started lightly raining and nobody moved.
Yeah. Well, by then they had a drink or two in them.
That's true. Yeah. That helps. Yeah.
You know, it could have been a flood. They wouldn't have cared.
And our audience is very committed to the ladies.
That's correct.
So thanks to everybody who came out, and thanks again to the Slide Bar for hosting us. We'll talk more about the pageant a little bit later on. Speaking of ladies, China is not the United States. China is not like us.
What?
They are unbelievably repressed over there, you know. There's a great deal of government censorship. And
was this in the news?
The Chinese, curiously to me, is they do everything they can to stamp out the sexy time, right? They are not at all about the sexy time over there, yet they have 1.5 billion people.
Yeah.
So clearly there's a disconnect between what the government would like to see happen and what the people are actually doing in their own homes.
Right.
But here's the reason I bring this up is because this is, you know, we take for granted that you can put anything up on the internet pretty much. It's very hard to get something, to get in trouble for putting something up on the internet, unless you're just stupid in this country. You know, if you say you're going to shoot the president or something like that, yeah, you're going to get a visit. But in terms of freedom of expression and First Amendment, we can pretty much put whatever we want up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In China, here's a Beijing model who's a very attractive young lady. Her name is Wang Xiaoming. Which, by the way, is what everyone in China is named, as far to my ears. She's 23 years old, very pretty, posted several photos of herself dressed in a revealing police uniform to a social networking site.
Is it a fake police uniform? I mean, she's not a police officer.
She's not a police officer, right? But she's wearing a police uniform, like, because let's face it, when you start getting into the sexy time in the photos, it's not unusual for somebody to dress up. Look, I have news for you. Not every hot chick on the internet dressed in a nurse's outfit is an actual registered nurse.
What?
Was this in the news?
So she is not a police officer, but she said the photos were part of a promotional shoot that she was doing for a detective novel. You know, she was doing some visuals for this.
Right.
So here's what she wrote. She added a little fan fiction to spice up the photo layout that she put in. By the way, this is in China what they consider dirty talk, okay?
All right.
As a new cop in my hometown, I need to learn the basics. As one of the flowers of the force, I am under pressure. I have to eat and drink with government leaders every day. I am using my flower status to dine with the leaders and win contracts for projects and investments.
What?
So hot.
That is sexy. I want somebody to say that to me in bed.
Well, you can imagine that she got some comments on her website, including several people who said that they were offended. The government called for officials to arrest her for impersonating a police officer. She was sentenced to 9 months in jail.
Oh, my God.
Subsequently suspended, at least, so she'll have a year suspension. She does not actually have to go to jail. And she has apologized to the court and to the government, saying the costume was just a prop. I was so ignorant. And I'll never do it again. So, again, America way better than China, right?
Oh, no question.
I mean, look, if a hot chick wants to dress up in an outfit and put pictures up and write sexy stuff, let her do it.
Yeah, you give them a bonus. You don't
arrest, jail. Don't arrest that person.
No.
Just crazy.
Arrest the other girls who aren't dressing up as a police officer and putting pictures up.
And who are the people that went on her little website or the social media network and complained about it and said that they were offended by her dressing up as a police officer?
You know who
old,
those people
ugly
are.
Ladies.
You know who those people are.
They exist in every those people.
In every country, those people exist.
Well, I love Wang Xiaoming, and I'm very sad for her.
You've said that all your whole life.
I do love Wang.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I hate your idea.
All right, that's the only one I have. Sorry. Andrew Siciliano will be here to talk about the NFL weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and what a weekend it was.
What a nutty weekend this was.
What a crazy weekend it was.
How about my powerhouse Arizona Cardinals, huh?
They were demolished 7-6.
Huh? By the Jets. Ouch.
No, but that 49ers-Rams game was unbelievable. That Colts-Lions game was unbelievable. The Seahawks-Chicago game was crazy. I mean, it's like everywhere you looked, everything was overtime and last second and heroics and a miracle, and that was what a weekend.
Trapped in the Closet recap.
That's what I'm awesome. Talking about.
They are starting to release, by they, I mean R. Kelly, starting to release new chapters. And if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know we are obsessed with this. And it's the best thing ever.
Well, I need to know what happened to the package.
What did happen to the package? That's a good
exactly.
question. And also,
where are you, Chuck?
Where the hell is Chuck?
Where the hell is Chuck? That's my question. Also on today's show, we're going to talk to our new Miss Double December, Lux.
Awesome, yes.
We're going to talk about worst first dates. You went out on a first date and it didn't work out quite as well as you had hoped. We are going to talk TMZ about all the celebrities and all the gossip that happened over the weekend. We have your tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're going to give you those today. And we're going to talk The Walking Dead with the Talking Dead's Chris Hardwick. What a great episode that was.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
damn
Lisa.
It. I know.
Oh, they all died. I mean, spoiler alert. We're going to talk to Chris Hardwick coming up a little bit later on this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Cage the Elephant was great when they played the Acoustic Christmas Show. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy energetic. I thought the guy was having a seizure singing that song. This weekend, of course, is the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas for 2012. We're talking about Saturday and Sunday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. You're running out of time, obviously, because the shows are coming up this week. And we have them for you this morning at 9:10, then again at 12:10 this afternoon, 3:10, and 6:10. Again, pit tickets and backstage passes to both nights.
Yikes.
Pretty good deal. It's all coming up here from the world-famous K-Rock.
Time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is on his way in. A little rain.
Yeah.
Slows everybody up.
I think he was drinking after the Eagles game last night. That's what I think.
Could be. Let's talk about Hugh Hefner. This is a strange story. Hugh Hefner and Crystal Harris are going to try it again. They're going to try and get married again.
Okay. Tell me, is she the one that ran
out
that had the stupid song?
I don't remember the song, but
she released Yes.
She's the runaway bride.
She's the one who...
He's like, going to marry her now?
He's going to try again.
Oh
they tried to get married in 2011, and she called it off at the very last second. So wouldn't you be a little gun-shy around her? I mean, wouldn't you go, I'm not so sure about this whole marriage thing with you.
There's some glitch in his brain that he has to get married like this. What is this about? He's almost dead.
I don't know, because he's not usually like that.
He wasn't, but I think his old age has changed
I think
him.
So, too. I think he is at the point now where he is romantic and wants a wife.
Wants a sexy nurse.
Okay.
That's what he wants.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I guess they kind of broke up for a little while after the last wedding was called off and she moved out and stuff. And then we all kind of our eyebrows raised when she moved back in and they started dating again. And now it's serious to the point where I hear they're getting married on New Year's Eve, by the way. I hear that's when it's going
to
happen.
Man, oh, man.
Do you have to move in with him to date him? Is that how it works?
Of course. Yes. He doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, he doesn't go anywhere.
How much fun is this?
Date you downstairs. It can't be much.
Oh, my God.
And remember, we've heard those stories, and we've had playmates on over the years who have lived at the mansion who say there are all these rules about when you're allowed to be out and what time you have to be back by and stuff. It doesn't seem – I don't get what the draw is there. I mean, look, if you're as hot as Crystal Harris is, you can find somebody else with a lot of money who will treat you well. It's not like that's the only place she can be a kept woman, right?
Yeah,
I don't get what the draw is.
To Daddy live, complex?
Great granddaddy complex is
right?
What you mean.
You're right.
Box office over the weekend, another big one. Twilight continues to rack it up over $17.5 million. It has made over $250 million in the last 3 weeks domestically now. Twilight has.
That's all?
That's all. Yeah.
$250
million. Skyfall, another one of the biggest hits of the year, came in at number two with $17 million. Then Lincoln was number three. Kevin, you see Lincoln yet?
Oh, my God. That was so good.
Nope. So, no. No. Rise of the Guardians, number four. Then Life of Pi rounds out your top five. Wreck-It Ralph, Killing Them Softly, which, by the way, kind of soft for that debut. The new Brad Pitt, James Gandolfini gangster movie. Come on.
Yeah, that looked good.
Like, how much do you want to see that?
Yeah.
Only $7 million at number seven over the weekend. The Red Dawn remake was number eight. Flight at number nine. And something called The Collection at number 10. Did I miss that one? Did you guys talk about that one last week?
The Collection?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Any thoughts on The Collection?
Nope. Doesn't exist.
Looking ahead toward this weekend, by the way, that Gerard Butler, Jessica Biel Playing for Keeps romantic comedy is opening. Also, Hyde Park on the Hudson, which I've been hearing about for, it seems like, a year. That's the one where Bill Murray plays Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So there's another movie about a president that you probably won't go see, Kevin.
That's true, even though I love Bill Murray.
That one's opening up on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that.
DUI over the weekend, TMZ reports Brianna Banks, who is a triple X-rated porn star,
okay,
apparently got in an accident and then drove away, and somebody called and said, that looked like she might have been a little drunk. So she was caught in a McDonald's drive-thru, sign number two, that she may have had a little to drink, and she was taken in and booked for DUI, but I only bring it up because the name of her movie is Chinny Chinny Bang Bang.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. Here's a story that Ralph is going to be sorry he's not here to brag about. You know, we're always making fun of him for watching The Bachelor and watching The Bachelorette, talking about how dumb those shows are and how nobody ever ends up getting married.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Ashley and JP, who met and fell in love on The Bachelorette, tied the knot on Saturday in Pasadena. Chris Harrison, who is, of course, the host of the show, officiated the ceremony. Fellow bachelorettes Allie and Emily were there to celebrate. Oh, in case you're wondering, by the way, and I don't know if this has any effect on how real this wedding is, of course, it was filmed for a made-for-TV ABC special and will be airing on December 16th, huh, featuring footage from their bachelor parties, dress shopping, and more.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah, that sounds so great.
We always make fun of the fact that there have been more weddings that have actually come out of The Biggest Loser than of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. This is only the second one of any of these shows that I can think of. Ralph will correct us later if I'm wrong, but wasn't there only one other couple before this who ever got married off of this show?
I don't know.
They live in Denver, right? He's the firefighter.
I really
think that's the only other couple.
Former. Yeah, I don't know. So
Trista and whoever.
Ashley and JP, way to go.
If you're looking for a Christmas gift, One Direction is going to put out a new fragrance. Actually, it's not for Christmas, it's for next year, but really One Direction, a new fragrance. I mean, women, right?
I think a lot of these celebrities see how much crazy money is coming from fragrances.
I know, but their audience is like 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, right? They're not going out and buying perfume.
I think 14-year-old girls have a lot of disposable income these days, and I think they'll buy anything with One Direction on it, Lisa.
Or get their parents to, or whatever, you know.
I guess.
Apparently it smells like bean, which I thought was a strange description.
How dare you?
It's strange. I don't get it.
This is a great idea. I don't know why there hasn't been something like this on television before. But the Hollywood Reporter says there's a new NBC show that is going to be a singing competition where they take amateurs, people who are just regular, ordinary Americans, and they put them on TV and let them sing.
Wow, that's great.
They have judges, and then somebody gets awarded a big cash prize at the end for being the best singer. Why aren't there any shows like this?
There's another new one?
There must be so much talent out there that can't get through traditional means. Nick Lachey is going to be the host.
Nope.
So you know it's going to be great. The program is going to be called The Winner Is.
Nope.
It's being produced by the same company that does The Voice. Now, what's the point of that?
I don't know. Unless they're cheap enough to create that they can still make money at it, but
auditions have been announced already for Raleigh, North Carolina, Houston, Seattle, and Philadelphia. Details at singinggameshow.com. I can't imagine that there's room for another one of these, right?
That's a terrible idea.
Even shows like The X Factor that have big stars on them are having trouble attracting ratings because there are so many singing shows on TV right now. How's Nick Lachey going to do with The Winner Is?
Once you bring out Killer Karaoke... In my mind, like, that's the end. Now you got to move to some other form of entertainment.
Exactly. That's that's the best.
Jennifer Lawrence got in an accident. She told Us Weekly that she thought she saw Honey Boo Boo.
Really?
Was she hallucinating? Was she drinking?
She was in Georgia, driving down the road, and she wasn't looking at the road. She rear-ended somebody, and she said, honestly, she thought she saw Honey Boo Boo.
There's a lot of Honey Boo Boos there.
There yeah, really are.
If you're in Georgia, every other person is a Honey Boo Boo or a June. That's funny. Today's celebrity birthday is one of the all-time greats, Ozzy Osbourne, 64 years old today. Still seems like he's about 80. Mickey Thomas, lead singer for The Starship, is 63 years old today. Montel Jordan, he's the This Is How We Do It guy, turns 44. Actor Brendan Fraser, also 44. Amanda Seyfried, 27 years old today. Oscar-winning actress Julianne Moore turns 52. Daryl Hannah, 52. From Charmed, Holly Marie Combs celebrates number 39 today. And Anna Chlumsky, who was the little girl in My Girl, the Macaulay Culkin movie, but I think, isn't she also on Veep? She's one of the adult stars of the TV show Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus that we love so much. She's celebrating her 31st today, and that's the show. Congratulations to our beautiful, charming new Miss Double December 2013, Lux. You should be following her on Twitter, by the way. And I mean, you really should be following her on Twitter at Luxiboo, L-U-X-I-B-O-O. We'll talk to her a little bit later on, find out how her first weekend when the crown was. And of course, we were down at the Slide Bar in Fullerton on Friday. Had a great turnout. People came down. A lot of great contestants this year, too. Really super fun group of girls, weren't they?
Yep. We did have one glitch, though. It was a listener. I have an email complaint, if you don't mind my reading it a little bit. Hi there. I'm a longtime listener and fan of the show. I love it. There have been many moments of risque talk throughout the years, and I enjoyed listening to and never felt embarrassed, weird, or offended. However,
I knew there was a however or a but coming.
Friday morning, I was appalled that the guy brought up to be interviewed prior to announcing the winner of Miss Double December pageant. I couldn't believe I was listening to K-Rock as the guy, I believe his name was Rudy, was consistently crossing the line with awful comments about the woman in the pageant. And by the way, I couldn't agree more.
He was rude.
He was over the line.
Yeah, totally.
Well, is there no sort of a pre-screening process before you just thrust the microphone in the listener's face, guys? Come on, what the hell's going on
here? Well, that's what the listener is suggesting, that next time we do a little more pre-interview. And I think it was right around 9:05 Friday morning as we were tabulating the votes.
Over 20,000 votes were cast.
Wow.
And apparently the final four or five, the top four or five girls are very close in the voting, so we'll have to wait and see. So I thought maybe we'd get an idea of how the listeners were voting by pulling a random listener out of the crowd and interviewing them and seeing what they thought about the girls and which ones were their favorites. So I found a gentleman named Rudy Cisneros in the audience.
Hey, what's up, dog? What's up, Ralph and Kevin? What's up, fool?
How's it going, Rudy?
Oh, dog, you know, like, thug life's getting to me, dog. You know what I'm saying? Keep my head on a swivel, like, it's starting to get me tired, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't choose this life, you know? I was born into it. I'm a born gangster, dog.
Right.
You know?
That's right. Rudy, of course, from East Los Angeles, I believe.
That's right. Born and raised. Buena Parque, you know what I'm saying? I want to say what's up to Orange County Vatos out here, but I'm East Los, born and bred, fool. You know what I'm saying?
Now, have you seen any of the competition?
Hey, that's a fly shirt, dog.
It's soccer.
Give me one.
All right.
Hey, who's going to buy me a drink, fool?
Everyone.
Hey, give me a Bacardi, dog. You know what I'm saying? Corona, whatever. Hey, all right.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the contestants in the pageant?
I saw all them backstage. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So you watched the whole pageant?
I don't like none of them. They're all bootleg.
What?
Listen, there's a bunch of problems with every one of them putas.
Wait a minute. They're all beautiful girls.
Nah. First off, every one of those girls has their real eyebrows. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Stupid, dog. You got to draw them on. Crazy. The little line. You know what I'm saying, fool? And they're like, I didn't see one scar, no C-section scars, dog. I like my hyenas with, like, the big cuts up in their belly.
No.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you know that they putting out the kids all day long, you know what I'm saying?
You don't want kids all day
and
long,
first,
do you?
Another thing, dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, I asked all of them, like, hey, you guys want a baby, dog? And they're like, nah.
That's the right answer.
Whatever's, dog. You know what I'm saying?
You should have been here a few years ago. One of our earlier ones had a baby.
I probably put it in her food. You know what I'm saying? That's how Rudy rolls, you know,
yeah,
dog?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, hey, is there going to be some dog fights up in here, dog?
No.
There's no dog fights.
There should be. That'd be dope right now. Hey, the Marines know what I'm talking about, food, right?
No,
get some
pit
bulls up here.
We're not doing any
get
dog
some pit bulls right here. Have a meet. Rawr, rawr, rawr.
No, that's a terrible fight.
I got a chihuahua, dog, but it got its eyebrow blasted with a pencil. It's true. Wait,
the dog got his eyebrow blasted with a pencil.
My uncle Lester, they call him Little Maniac Dog. Uh-huh. He lives in Amani. He was playing with my dog. He was high off the angel dust. His head was all crazy, loco, dog. And he saw my dog. He's like, "Hey, there's a lion in your living room." I'm like, "Nah, dog. It's my little chihuahua." And he took a pencil, bam, right in his head. And his eyeball. And I was like, "Damn, dog. Whatever."
Wow.
I'm sorry. What was your reaction?
Go Raiders, dog. That's, you know, That's what I have to say. And then another thing, like I was listening to them do the hyenas do the talent.
The talent
course. You know what I'm saying? Portion, and one bitch read poetry.
Yeah.
This isn't school, dog, you know? Because if it was, I'd drop out. You know what I'm saying? Her talent should be like, you know, shake chichis. You know what I'm saying? Or like go airtight style. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's appropriate.
That's what I'm talking about. I want to see lips that you don't put lipstick on, fool.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
What's happening right now? That's more than
I want to see you hike up your skirt so all you right. need two haircuts,
all
fool.
Right, all
and
right.
I got a shaved head like every cholo should. And she should have it downstairs hardwood floors, fool.
I think we heard enough
from Rudy. You guys want to hear a joke, dog?
A joke?
You guys want to hear a joke? I've been working on it because, like, I'm a comedian now. You know, you could go see me out at El Monte, up Peck Road, whatever. Hey. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Is that a joke?
What?
Is that what?
It's not really a joke. It's a statement.
Hey, does anybody have any meth, dog?
Right, no, listen. I don't think we're...
You know what I'm saying? I quit coffee 3 months ago. I need a pick-me-up, fool. It's got the scrante.
No,
and
not...
by the way, if anybody's got any meth, give it to those fat hyenas backstage. Maybe they could lose a couple
Stop
pounds.
Stop it. That is unfair.
Why? Maybe there won't be so much queso on their nalgas coming out the bottom.
All right, that is uncalled for.
Look at me. I missed double December. I got a short skirt. Nalgas coming out the bottom.
Now I'm sorry we asked you.
More queso than Wisconsin.
We need to take a break.
So you didn't vote for any of the girls?
You know who I vote for?
Who'd you vote for?
Eva Mendez and the Virgin Mary. You know what I'm saying?
They weren't on the list.
Those are the only two hyenas I give a whatever's about. You know what I'm saying? Because my mom, she died, you know, like back in the day, she was a Mexican wrestler.
Uh-huh.
The Iron Sheik.
But she, La Lucha Libre.
The Iron Sheik gave her the camel clutch in 1974 back in Juarez, and my mom's neck was all janky. Right. So, like. So.
Yeah, really?
So the man.
Is that what happened?
That's true, dog. You know, so like. The man's that, like, I first called my father, they called him Trigger, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He put her out of his misery. Hey, by the way, to the Marines, you know, like, I never served in the military, but they used to call me Sniper back in Orange County, you know, because I done blasted so many fools, so I feel like we got a connection.
I thought we asked him what he thought about the contestants.
We tried.
About a half hour
this
ago.
This is what we got.
I didn't see no Raider tattoos on those bitches.
All right, enough.
Not one of those bitches wearing dickies, you know what I'm saying?
I think we understand what your point
you know,
of view
I,
is.
You like, know, I could have brought way better girls from the Santa Fe Shrink swap meet, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think so. I doubt that.
All right, listen,
Three pack of white beers and a corn dog for that bitch.
Okay, Rudy, we need to take a break now, but thanks so much for your insight. We appreciate it.
All right, dog. I love you.
No more Walking Dead on AMC until February the 10th, by the way.
Oh.
Next hour, we will talk the mid-season finale with our friend Chris Hardwick, host of The Talking Dead. That's coming up at around 7:30 or so. First, though, how about Dax from the TMZ newsroom? Dax Holt on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show like we do on Mondays. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How's everyone over there?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. I had a question for you to get us started here, Dax. I saw a story last week, I'm sure you did too, about a news station in Washington, D.C. that asked on Twitter whether they wanted their viewers to – they wanted to be covering the Lindsay Lohan story or not. And
okay.
The viewers overwhelmingly said, no, we don't want to hear about Lindsay
Lohan.
That is such
a lie.
That is a lie, isn't it?
Such a lie.
So they stopped covering the story. They pulled the reports that they had scheduled, and who knows if they did it for that day or they're going to continue to do it. But the reason I bring all that up is to say, what's your experience on TMZ like with all the Lindsay Lohan stories that you guys publish? Are they gold for you?
They are huge. If you go onto our website, we have posted a bunch of Lindsay stories over the last couple of days. All of them, hundreds and hundreds of comments. The most traffic on the site goes to Lindsay Lohan. People say they hate her.
Uh-huh.
But then they love to talk about her,
right,
or they love to read about her.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We're fascinated.
Yeah. What do you think that's about?
Because people love to hate celebrities, and especially the Lindsay Lohans, the Parises, the Kim Kardashians, all those people. They, you know, hate talking about them, but at the same time, there's just this need inside their bodies to read about the drama in someone else's life.
You should put her on the payroll, Lindsay Lohan. It's like she's, it really is. It's like every weekend she's like, how can I make TMZ's life a little easier? And then she goes out and does stuff.
Well, she is a gold mine.
Yes, she is.
She is certainly giving you no shortage of material this last couple of months. Let me ask you about a couple things. First of all, that report that some said she was drinking as much as 2 liters of vodka per day. Not physically possible to survive at that rate, right?
It's unbelievable. I don't know how anyone, how their liver could handle taking that much vodka in. But I'm telling you, we've got lots of sources very close to Lindsay, and they're saying, yes, that she is drinking crazy amounts of vodka up to 2 liters a day just because she's going through the court cases. She's got a lot of money issues right now,
yeah.
And she's trying to mask all that by drinking.
And she's allowed to drink. That wasn't any of the conditions of her probation or anything like that. Okay, so she can do that if she wants. Because for a while, it seemed like she was supposed to stay away from alcohol and people who are drinking alcohol for at least a certain portion of her life, right?
Well, the judge has said you need to clean your act up, and right. You shouldn't be hanging out with the people you're hanging out with. Don't go to clubs. Don't drink. She had the scram bracelet on for a while.
Right.
But, you know, all of that.
That's all the past.
Exactly. That was in the past. She's allowed to drink, but because she went to rehab, everyone assumed that she was going to stop drinking.
Plus, she's like 25 and looks 50, too. I mean, I would stop drinking just based on looking in the freaking mirror in the morning.
That's an issue.
Right. You mentioned money problems. What's going on, Dax?
Okay, so if you remember the other day, we had a story up about how she had this huge tax debt. She owed $233,000 to the federal taxes, like from 2009, 2010. And then Charlie Sheen had stepped in, gave her a $100,000 check to pay off some of it.
Right.
Well, she still owes the rest of it, and Uncle Sam's tired of that, so he has now seized her bank accounts.
Mm.
Over the weekend, seized the bank accounts, and is being forced to pay off her tax debt.
Now,
so it is freaking her out, though.
Here's the question I have for you, and maybe this is a case where being high profile, being a celebrity, is working against her because she's so, you know, so public about all this. But my experience with people that have tax problems is the government comes to you, or you go to them, and you just work out at least a payment plan. Like, you give them something every month, and they kind of back off a little bit. They're not giving her that option here?
I don't understand why they wouldn't, because she's still a person, you know, just like everyone else. But I think at a point, if you're ignoring them,
I'm guessing we're talking about 8 months ago when they were trying to work out a payment plan.
I'm thinking, though, if she just handed over a $100,000 check, you would think they'd be like, okay, this is a start. We're going somewhere. So I don't know why they came and seized all of her bank accounts. Maybe they're just, we don't want to deal with Lindsay Lohan. She's going to go to jail soon. Let's just get her money back.
We need to get her money quick before it goes to vodka.
We got to pay for her in jail now, so...
And by the way, these tax liens, I mean, when you say tax lien, I don't know what the structure of this is, but I mean, this could be one of those deals where even if she gets a job that pays some money, most of the money won't even go to her if
Correct.
It goes to the government, right?
It'll just turn around and go straight back to the government.
Where is this going to end, Dax? I hate to get all morbid, but I was talking to my wife over the weekend, and I was thinking that it seems to me like we're about 2 months away from not being surprised when she turns up dead.
You know what? I actually had the same conversation, too. And keep in mind, she's going to turn 27 soon.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that join the 27 Club. And it scares me because Lindsay Lohan is such a crazy lady sometimes that she needs to get her life on track or she will join that club. And I don't think anyone would be surprised.
Yeah, she's heading for Amy Winehouse land.
Yeah. So
is where she's headed.
That's not a fun land.
Clean up your act. We don't want to
All right.
do that story.
Right.
Well, we are going to continue to pretend that we don't care what's going on with her while furiously refreshing TMZ.com for all the very latest on Lindsay Lohan. And don't forget, check your local listings for all the various fun TMZ television shows. Dax, we love talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Bye. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up for us in about 15 minutes or so. Then we're going to talk about the worst first date you ever had on the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead. Well, it's inevitable. If you were planning on, not being Christmas time, you've lost because it's now December. It's here. It's after Thanksgiving. There's nothing you can do about it. Miss Double D is behind us. It's Christmas music time too.
Yep.
And I know that means different things to different folks. And I think I kind of agree with you, Kevin, that I don't know that we need It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year and White Christmas and all those songs that we hear too much.
Those 10 or 12 have been done 5 million times by 5 million people. True. And I don't mind new originals, but we don't need another White Christmas.
It is weird. I was watching the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting special that they had on NBC the other night. And Mariah Carey came out and she sang her little song. And then they had a bunch of other artists singing a bunch of other songs. And most of the songs that they were doing there in that primetime special are songs from the 40s and 50s.
Right.
Christmas songs from the 40s and 50s. And they really are making new Christmas songs all the time. It's not like they stopped making them. For instance, our friends in The Killers. They come out with a new Christmas song every year. I think this is the sixth year in a row that the first week of December they've come out with a Christmas song. In fact, this is going to be available for download tomorrow on iTunes. Again, this year it is a charity signal, single that is going to go to the Red AIDS charity. 6 years in a row. Brandon Flowers is a huge Christmas music fan, and he always wanted to do something like this, and now he's doing it. So I want to play a little piece of it in case you're wondering. The new Killers song, it is called I Feel It In My Bones. And they have a friend of theirs named Ryan Party who is singing with them. He is playing the part of Bad Santa, as he did on their Christmas song from a few years ago called Don't Shoot Me Santa. It's kind of a continuation of that song.
Okay.
Brandon Flowers is talking to Santa. Here's a little bit of the brand new Killers song available tomorrow. What do you think? Brand new Killers?
I hope they do that at acoustic.
I like it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, they have done some really, really good Christmas songs in the past, and that is, again, they're brand new, and that is available tomorrow from The Killers called I Feel It In My Bones.
I will, I'll see your Killers and raise you fruitcake.
Oh, fruitcake.
How about that?
Well, fruitcake is maybe the best Christmas song of this decade, I think.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, whatcha making?
Whatcha making?
I remember the first time I brought this in, Kevin. You had not heard it yet.
Nope.
I played it on the radio one morning. And you hate Fred Schneider.
I do.
But couldn't believe how awesome his fruitcake was.
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake!
As you can tell already at this point in the song, he stopped working on it about a minute in.
How dare you?
Seriously, that's it. You've heard the whole song, but it goes on.
Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones too, it's fruitcake!
Come on!
It's fruitcake!
And the music is just so childish, it's like a Casio keyboard, right?
Pecans or walnuts?
Yeah, give us the
citrus
ingredients.
Peel.
Nothing better than ingredients.
Lots of stuff.
That helps. Seriously. He mentioned two things and he's out. Now he's in lots of stuff.
That doesn't help me. I was writing down the directions. I was going to try to make this fruitcake.
Lots of stuff. This is why this song is so awesome, because it's just absurdly dumb.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff. And what you feel. Sticks of butter. Cinnamon.
Read me that list.
Mo' molasses. Lots of dark rum. Artificial color.
Now, at some point, don't you go, you know what? I'm just listing things now. This isn't a song.
I'm just reading.
Artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
Well, it is fruitcake.
It's fruitcake.
The neighbors will give it back to you next year.
Mm-hmm. What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake.
I don't hear you, Lisa.
Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones too, it's fruitcake! Baking up fruitcake!
Has there ever been a more fruitcake Christmas song?
No, this is the best. And I will tell you, this song is now in your head, kids.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this show right now, you will at some point later today
whatcha
ask
making?
Yourself, whatcha making? The answer will be fruitcake!
We're almost at the halfway point of this song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it.
A little bit of mace.
Oh, good.
The stuff they spray in your face?
What?
Oh, no, you sillies.
Come on. Come on.
Is this the first song in history that has the line, oh, no, you sillies?
Oh, no, you sillies.
It's a spice for taste. Put the oven on low, 3 hours or more.
He rhymed that, didn't he?
Yeah, he
put
tried.
Put the oven on low, 3 hours or more.
Yeah, he tried.
Wrap it in rum. Yum, 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 fruitcake.
Now again, is that the first song to include yum, yum, yum?
I think it might be, yes.
Yeah, weird keyboard solo, go.
what the B-52s are famous for.
Fruitcake. What you
making? I love it.
Fruitcake. Heavy as lead.
Yes.
Fruitcake. If it hits you in the head. Fruitcake.
Still got another minute. You want it?
Yes, I do.
It could kill your dad. It's fruitcake. Yeah, fruitcake. Artificial color. Artificial
yeah, we're back to that good.
Your family don't want it. Give it to a neighbor. Fruitcake. Yeah, fruitcake. What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's
I told you he stopped writing after the first two lines.
Hey, fruitcake.
Hey, fruitcake.
Do the fruitcake.
Oh, there's a dance now?
Don't call me fruitcake.
Oh, you're a fruitcake if there
ever was. Do the fruitcake.
Whatever was one.
What's the fruitcake?
All right.
Hey, fruitcake.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Seems rife with possibilities.
Thank God this song's back. I missed it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
That was the most listened to song on Spotify for all of 2012. Hmm. Millions of songs available. Hmm. That was the number one most streamed song on Spotify.
More than Gangnam Style?
Yes.
Oh, that's unacceptable.
More than, what's the little girl, Call Me Maybe?
More than anything. Huh. That's why it was number one.
More than
what you're making, fruitcake?
By definition.
Even more than fruitcake, yeah. Yes. It's just weird, though, because it seems like I can't imagine look, no offense to the Gaudier song. It's a great song. Would you voluntarily seek it out to try to find it, to go listen to it?
Well, I think
feel like you've heard it, right?
Well, I think we're probably a little more tired than most people because we play it so much.
More than right. Ballroom Blitz by Sweet.
6:53, it's second. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Still a neck-and-neck battle this week between Bond and Bad. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 edged out Skyfall to be the number one movie in the nation for the third week. $17.4 million made it number one. Just behind that, however, was 007. Skyfall made $17 million, made it number two. Then Lincoln, Rise of the Guardians 3D, and Life of Pi. Those are the top five.
You haven't seen that Life of Pi?
I have not yet. It looks real good.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph was sixth. Killing Them Softly, the new Brad Pitt movie, did not score very well at all. Only made $7 million. That was good enough to make it number seven on the list. Red Dawn, Flight, and The Collection. The horror movie The Collection was number 10 in its debut.
That's
weekend.
A horror movie?
Yeah.
Bean and I couldn't remember what that was last hour.
Yeah, $3.4 million. Mm. Made it number 10. Congratulations to Mario Lopez. Finally made an honest woman of his girlfriend, Courtney Maza. They got married last Saturday, according to the Huffington Post, in a beachside community in Mexico called Puntamiento, which, of course, as everyone knows, means pointy spearmint.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, it does.
Huh.
They got married at the home of Mario Lopez's good buddy, Joe Francis. Of course, creator of the Girls Gone Wild franchise.
Oh, it was a classy affair.
Oh, yeah.
There were cameras in every bathroom.
Could not have been better. I mean, it had a mariachi band.
Sweet.
It had a wedding cake by the Cake Boss. It just had everything you could ever want. Don't feel bad if you didn't get invited, because you will be able to see it all in the TLC special.
Nope.
Airing next Saturday.
Nope.
Which is the wedding of Mario Lopez on TLC. You can see that
yeah!
next Saturday.
Yeah! That's hot!
No word on whether he managed to refrain from banging anyone at his bachelor party this time around or not. We're not really sure. He did that to Ollie Landry when they were supposed to get married. Yeah.
Nobody gives a crap!
While we're talking about inappropriate marriages, Hugh Hefner and Crystal Harris are engaged again. You may remember that Crystal Harris, the first time around, left the Playboy mogul at the altar, ran away when they were supposed to get married. And
it was literally day of at the altar, right? I mean, what was it?
I think it was like the day before.
The day before.
Yeah.
So they weren't dressed yet, but just about.
And Hefner was shattered, according to friends, and she moved on and said, oh, the sex was awful and it was a mistake.
That's right. She badmouthed
him. I never should have been with him. I know what I was thinking. I got caught up in the moment and blah, blah, blah. Well, they're back together again, and they're going to be getting married on New Year's Eve.
Take two.
Hugh Hefner, you're old enough to know better.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
you're old enough to know Moses, but you're also old enough to know better. Don't do that, Hef. Come on, Hef, look at your life. You need this whore in your life? You don't. For God's sakes. More details coming out about the Lady Lohan assault charges that were filed in New York City last Thursday morning when Lindsay allegedly punched an effing gypsy in the face. Now it seems the effing gypsy has retained the services of a effing bitch. Gloria Allred will be her lawyer.
Really? What a surprise.
Trying to score a little cash out of Lindsay. They're getting blood from a stone there at that point, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lindsay's broke.
Yeah,
the IRS
trouble.
And now Lindsay says she is going to hire a private detective to dig up details about the effing gypsy's past so she can battle her in court appropriately because she still claims that she is innocent and she never punched the effing gypsy in the face.
I'd like to put him in a ring and just let him...
You want to punch the effing gypsy? Here, punch the effing gypsy.
I'd like to see him settle it that way.
There's got to be room on UFC on Fox Saturday night, right? Put him up there.
Put him in the undercard. And I, you know, it's one thing when Lindsay Lohan gets in trouble. I don't really care so much about her. But when a true actress, someone whose work I have truly enjoyed, gets in legal trouble, it does make me feel bad.
Who's this?
Legendary Triple X star Brianna Banks.
Hmm.
Adult film Hall of Famer was arrested last week. She got charged with a DUI while driving through a McDonald's drive-thru. She got popped for DUI at the drive-thru. Sounds like a Weird Al Yankovic song.
It does, yeah.
But
strange.
She apparently had a little fender bender with a young lady early on Wednesday morning. The other party in the accident thought she might have been under the influence, so called the police. The police found Brianna in the drive-thru at McDonald's, issued a sobriety test, which she failed miserably, and then brought her downtown. For those of you who aren't familiar with Brianna Banks' work, you may remember her from such films as Party Mouth, Butt Floss Chronicles, or Creme de la Face. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ozzy Osbourne is 64 years old today. Actress Daryl Hannah turns 52. Julianne Moore, Oscar-winning actress, is also 52 years old today. Brendan Fraser celebrates his 44th birthday. Holly Marie Combs, my old co-star from Charmed, celebrates her 39th birthday today. That's right. I was in Charmed with her.
I heard you.
Anna Chomsky from Veep. She's 32 years old. And Amanda Seyfried, soon to be seen in Les Miserables. She was also in Mamma Mia and Big Love, 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, it shouldn't affect the Muse shows in Southern California next month. But Matt Bellamy broke his foot a few days ago. Did you guys see this?
I did not.
He slipped on a sidewalk, icy sidewalk or something, broke a couple of bones in his foot, had to cancel a bunch of shows in Sweden, and tweeted out, just said, nothing I can do about it. You know, you people are paying the good money. I don't want you to come see me on crutches trying to do the concert. So they're going to reschedule those dates. And as I say, it should not affect the Southern California dates coming up.
Come up with a better cover story, though. You just tripped on a sidewalk. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Pretty lame,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's a rock star. He should have been trying to save someone's life in
right,
traffic
exactly.
Or something. Exactly.
Car ran over my foot while I rescued a woman's life, you know, saved a woman's life.
There it is. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We'll talk all things Walking Dead with our friend Chris Hardwick from The Talking Dead. First, though, I don't know that we've ever done this phone topic before, but I love it. We want to hear from you if you have terrible first date experiences. Let's face it, first dates are a crapshoot because oftentimes you don't know the person very well at all. And Lisa, I'm sure you've had experiences where you know in the first 5 minutes, this is a mistake and this is going to be the longest night of my life.
First
right?
30 seconds.
And I wish I had the guts to do what people have done before, which is like go to the bathroom and just never come back.
Just say, I'll be right back.
Never have the guts to do it.
And then just disappear.
Oh, it'd be the best.
Yeah, that's happened to me more times than I can tell you. But here's the story, and we want to hear your calls at 1-800-520-1067. For whatever reason, it was a memorable, terrible first date. The guy or girl just wasn't anything like what you expected or hoped they would be. We want to hear your story. But here's the one that kind of got us thinking about it, and this is great. This won't surprise you that this happened in Florida a couple of weeks ago. But a young man named Efren Molina met a woman. He's 39 years old. He met a woman named Jillian Martone. She's 35. And they agreed, you know, hit it off or whatever, and they agreed, hey, let's get together. Let's have a date later in the week. So they did. They went out a few nights later and went out to dinner and ended up going back to his place. Now, so far, sounds like things are going pretty well, right?
Right. Yeah. First date, yes.
You get her back to your place uh-huh. after dinner on the first date. It sounds like something may be shaking here, right? Well, apparently, she at one point in the evening made a comment about being his girlfriend.
Now that I'm your girlfriend.
Right. And he's like, whoa, I may have paid for dinner here, but come on, slow down, baby. I'm not exactly your boyfriend here. She, according to the police report, and yes, the police do get involved, became enraged. They got into a fight. He told her to get the hell out of his apartment. She wouldn't leave and punched the man instead. Again, he told her, you've got to leave. What did she do next? She ran to the kitchen and grabbed a knife.
Yeah. Let her call you boyfriend until she gets out of the front door.
That's when the man yelled for his roommate. He rushed into the living room to see what all the commotion was about. The roommate stood there, watched Molina, the man, wrestling the knife out of his not-girlfriend's hand. He then dragged her down the stairs and threw her out. She... Now outside his apartment, smashed his windows with two large rocks.
Oh, my God.
Good times.
While the man and his roommate were calling the police showed up, and there he is. You know, she's hysterical. He's hysterical. Everybody's bleeding. There's blood up and down the stairwell. A rock next to the front door that had come through the window. I mean, what a mess, right?
Well, I think she showed him. He should have... Yeah, I mean, he's going to miss that, isn't he?
She's not, surprised.
Not having her as a girlfriend?
It doesn't sound like there's going to be a second date in this particular
case. We'll pay for it if they'll do it.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Just grab a knife.
How did it go well enough that they were at dinner and decided to go back to his place and then go so poorly so quickly just because of the word girlfriend?
What? I had a first date that kind of started that way.
Where the guy said, just moving way too fast.
It went way too fast. Yeah. So now I'm at his house, right? And he drove me there. I don't know where I am.
Oh.
And he starts to get weird and scary. And all I'm thinking is, don't do anything to make him mad.
Right.
Just play along until you can get him to take you home. Because this is really, really scary.
Did he at any point say,
I really need... to kill somebody.
I think he might have said that, yes.
Dexter?
I was just hoping it wasn't me.
Now, this story that we just did, we're going to take your calls again on worst first dates at 1-800-520-1067. This story in Florida, it happens to be the girl was the crazy one and was the aggressor. But I would imagine that for women going out on the first date, you are often thinking of an exit strategy, right, Lisa?
Yes. Yes. And now I know better. I know, like, when first, second dates, you should probably just meet them somewhere.
Sure.
If you don't have money in your car for a cab, you know, have a girlfriend on standby to call you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things you could do now.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. Let's go with Selena. Selena is on line 3. She's going to get us started here on bad first dates here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hi, Selena.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What happened? Bad first date.
This guy was arrested for impersonating a cop and a DUI on our first date.
Wait. You mean he got arrested on the date for impersonating a cop?
Yes.
They just caught up with him while you guys were out?
Well, we were at a restaurant. We were sitting in a bar, and he, for some reason, said, I've got to go outside for a second, you know. So I thought, okay, whatever, you know. Didn't think anything of that. He came back inside, and he says, hey, I need you to come outside with me for a second. So now I'm kind of thinking, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I come outside with him, and I see his car, and then I see his car having smashed into another car. So he, like, ran into another car. So I was like, oh, my God. So these bouncers that were at a club right across the way from us, they're in a fight with this guy. They're yelling at him because they're telling him, you know, we're going to call the cops on you. You're going to flee the scene.
Right.
You know, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So it turned out that he... He flashes a badge. He goes, well, have fun getting them to arrest one of their own. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this guy, like, okay, because I was set up with this guy. He's not a cop. Like,
who set you up with this guy? What kind of friend was that?
One of my good intentioned friends thought that we would make a good
company. Oh, my God.
He actually worked for the city. That's how he has a badge. He worked for the city.
So did the police show up, and did he end up getting arrested, and that was the end of your date?
That is pretty much what happened.
Fantastic.
Well, at least you got a way out, right?
Yeah, and I got a free dinner out of it.
Thank you for the call, Selena. Appreciate it. Let's go to Devora real quick. Devora is on line 5. Here's a great example of you have no idea what to expect when you go on a first date. Hi, Devora. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, it's May.
Hi there.
Bad first dates. What happened?
Well, I went out with this guy, and he took me to a Chinese restaurant, and he ordered everything, like, for us. He's like, do you mind if I order? I said, no.
Right.
and then it was an appetizer that had, like, some meat on top of, like, a crackerish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And before I went to take the first bite, he barked.
He barked?
He barked like a dog. And,
what?
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, what? And he was just like, oh, you never know what the kind of meat is. And I went, what? And I go, is this dog? And he's like, no, no, no. And then I go to take the bite again, because I never took the bite. And then he meowed.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Like,
so what? He was just trying to be funny, though. He's just trying to make a joke about mystery meat at a Chinese restaurant. That doesn't automatically make him a bad guy, does it?
Yeah, but he wouldn't stop.
He wouldn't stop.
That makes him a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you try it. You try the joke and it either works or it doesn't work, but you let it go. If you're committed to it to keep going, that's a problem.
Yeah.
He kept doing it and doing it, and I was just like, okay, I can't eat here with you. And he was just like, what? And I go, I have to go.
Nice.
You laughed. I love that.
Nice. And when you were running out, did he say,
you like doggy?
No. All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a break and come right back.
A lot of show coming up here on the program for a Monday, including Chris Hardwick talking about The Walking Dead in a few minutes. We also are going to take a look at the new chapter of Trapped in the Closet from R. Kelly. And we'll talk to our new Miss Double December 2013, Lux, joins us next hour. Right now, though, talking about bad first dates. Listen to this from Laura as we prepare to go back to your phone calls here. I met someone after work for a date. I asked him where we were going. He said we were going to get his tattoo finished. I thought he was joking until we arrived at the tattoo parlor.
We sat there
for 3 hours.
What?
No food, just the beer the tattoo artist had at the parlor. I got the pleasure of watching him sit in a chair. I stuck around just to see if at some point we were actually going to go somewhere else afterwards, and we did. That somewhere was McDonald's.
No.
All right. That guy knows how to live.
Maybe not a great first date to go to a tattoo parlor and watch somebody you barely know get a tattoo, right?
Yeah, that seems incredibly self-centered.
Yes.
No kidding. Huh. All right, let's talk to, let's go to Rudy on line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Rudy, what happened on your bad first date?
Well, let me start the story. Me and my friend used to be heavy in the street racing back in 2000, you know, back in City of Industry and stuff like that.
Okay.
And we street race these girls, and, you know, they looked pretty cute. We beat them, you know, they give us their number. It was nighttime. All we saw was, you know, their shoulder up from the window.
Right.
Give us their number. So we go, and I tell my other boy, I'm like, hey, they got this girl. She's got a cute friend. We got to go hit them up. We're going to go on a date. They go to pick them up. Not only did they make us wait for like an hour while they were getting ready, they come out the door, and these girls are like 200-plus. So we never saw him. It was nighttime. So we were like, oh, crap, what do? You know, I tell my friend. So we go to the Olive Garden. We're in the bathroom trying to contemplate how to ditch these girls. So we finally had to tell him, hey, we're in the street racing. One of our friends just died, so we got to go.
One of our friends died.
You couldn't just finish dinner
and take
them home.
Lisa, women that heavy have no value. Come on. You know that.
No, it's not that.
Worth an evening.
It costs too much for dinner.
That's the problem. I would have spent like $300 on
that.
I don't know.
Rudy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Chuck, line 7. Chuck joins us next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning, Chuck.
How about this? I'm in El Paso, Texas, fresh out of the Army basic training, and I see this woman, and she looks really nice. I invite her to a ZZ Top concert. We go to the concert as our first date. We're sitting in the load seats, and suddenly she gets violently ill. She hadn't been drinking at all, mm-hmm. and I ask her, what's wrong?
She said, I'm in a ZZ Top concert.
No.
How dare
you? She said, I'm pregnant.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, do I take her home? Do I stay and watch the concert? So being the 17-year-old male persona of males, I stayed and watched the concert.
Well, you may as well.
You don't ditch ZZ Top just because of your date. Of course not. So was that the last time you ever went out with her?
Yeah, when I took her home, her mother reamed me a new one because I didn't take her home right away.
Wow.
That's quite a family.
Yeah, that's quite a family.
That may be too much baggage for a first date,
I think.
And if you're 17, I think. I mean, that may be something you can handle a little older. Yeah. All right, we only have time for one more, Kevin. You want to go to Donna here or do you want to go to Sura? Who do you like?
Sura, I believe. Sura. I can't imagine how this story ends.
On line 8, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bad first date, what happened?
So we met at the Cat and Fiddle in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and he was English. I had lived in England for a few years, so I thought we might have some stuff in common. So within the first 5 minutes of the date, he proceeded to let me know that he had met the Queen of England II, as well as Elizabeth I. And I said,
how does that work time-wise? I'm not familiar with...
I was trying to be tentative and not super... I wasn't trying to make him feel bad or
Yeah, you don't want to call him out, but that's a dumb lie.
Sure, right. And I said, well, isn't Queen Elizabeth I dead? And he was like, no, she's just really old.
I'm no expert either, but hasn't she been dead like 400 years?
Isn't she the one they make the movies about?
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay, thank you very much. So then I said, I was like, you mean like the movie that, what's her name was in? Like
Kate Blanchett,
like, yeah. Yeah, like Elizabeth. I was like, do you mean like Shakespeare, like the Elizabethan era? Like,
So he was thinking, I'm an exotic foreigner. I'm going to play up the British angle here and drop some names that I'm hanging out with the queens, basically.
Right. And I did concede. I said, I think that you probably think you met maybe...
Look at how nice you're trying to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right.
You're trying to get better for the doubt.
I can be kind of, I guess, a little short and aggressive. And
well,
hurt
in that particular, yeah, of course, yeah.
So we proceed to get into a fight about it. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I don't really think this is the case. And he's like, you should just go with me on this. And I was like, well, I don't, I'm allowed to think for myself. And do I really need to take your? He's like, no, you should just you should just go with me.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So then,
We're out of time, sir. Was that the last time you ever went out with him? Was that the end of that relationship?
Oh, yeah.
It better have been. Yeah.
He could have introduced you to Shakespeare if you'd hung out with him. Come on.
Just so you know, he walked out on me, too, because it was the worst date he had ever been on.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Hey, this is David Boreanaz.
Hi, this is Denise Richards.
Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
This is Christian Bale.
Oh, good!
And you're listening to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
How good was Walking Dead?
Hey, spoiler alert, big time. Like, Lisa May has not seen last night's episode, but we gotta talk about it. It was the mid-season finale, and of course, The Talking Dead comes on after The Walking Dead, Sunday nights on AMC. Our friend Chris Hardwick is the host of that, and he joins us on the phone right now. Follow him on Twitter at Nerdist and Nerdist.com. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Going great. You get a couple of months off from The Walking Dead, but what a send-off last night, and what a great show that you had with Damon Lindelof, executive producer, and Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, on your panel. Super fun talking about that episode. What'd you think?
Well, first of all, I'm bummed that the show's not coming back until February 10th.
Me too. When they said that at the end, you're like, oh, no!
I know. Your producer Dave was like, hey, you happy you have a couple months off? I'm like, no, I want the last 8 episodes now. But, Kirkman and Lindelof are a great team on the show because they're friends, first of all, and they're super funny and smart. But Kirkman can't talk about what's coming up, so Lindelof is great at speculating, and Kirkman can talk about exactly what's going on in the heads of the characters because he invented them.
Right.
So yes, exactly.
It's a really good mix between the two of them when they come on.
Yeah, it was a great panel. And last night, I mean, I'm a guy who, is just typical TV viewer. I started watching when the show hit AMC. I never read the comic book or anything like that. So all of these things that you talk about on The Talking Dead are such a surprise to me. Like, you've been looking for Tyrese, who finally appears last night. And he's the guy, Kevin, who was the black guy who's the leader of the new group
that they started at the beginning
of the episode.
And I was did I miss something? Because this is a whole other group.
Now, why is this such a big deal to have Tyrese finally show up on the TV show, Chris?
Tyrese was a great character in the comics, and actually in the comics he showed up a lot sooner. The storylines are a bit different, but I don't know, he's just a great character, and I think at this point, with Rick clearly losing his mind, he needs some like good, solid allies and people who can really be level-headed and cool. So Tyrese is that guy.
And one of the things I was thinking about, he seems like a very smart, capable leader. One of the things I was thinking about when the show began last night is, we're used to the groups of survivors that we know from the, for the past 3 seasons. But we're to believe that this is the whole country or the whole world, and there are thousands and thousands of these groups, these pockets of people who are roaming the countryside just trying to stay alive, right?
Yeah, that was sort of that, because I asked Kirkman last night about Boxcar Willie from the last episode, and he's like, well, that guy was just to show that there are other people actually out in the world.
Right.
And
you do forget about that because you're so hyper focused on the group.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I'm sure this is. I mean, he doesn't say, but obviously the same thing's probably going on all over the country, or you know, in Paris or in China. Like, so you know, it's nice to see that that there is a world out there that still has yet to be explored.
There was so much. Hang on.
Spoiler alert.
There was so much last night about the governor. That was unbelievable, from keeping his daughter in that little cage to the head aquarium to what a bizarre dude that is.
To the penny kebab.
Yes.
The penny kebab. The good thing is the really interesting thing, I asked Kirkman about this last night, that like we had talked about this before, but the governor is a total piece of crap from almost the second you see him in the comics. And so I said, why did you decide to make him more of kind of a politician and try to show his humanity? And he said, well, because we really get a chance to kind of see who he is and like him a little bit. And I think last night was sort of the catalyst of what really sent him into that to the darkest place that he becomes. So, because when you think about it, now the governor really has a good supervillain story, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of teetering on the edge. He had one thing holding him on to humanity, which was his daughter, and now that's gone. And so, and he has an injury, which is typical of a lot of supervillains.
I love it. I love it so much. I want to get an eye patch right today. I need an eye patch. No, but you know what? I didn't read the graphic novels, and so I don't know what to expect. And we hear, oh, my God, the governor. The governor is such a great character. And you expect him to come out of the gate as an evil bastard. And he just he doesn't at all.
I mean, look, this is what the Star Wars prequels were all about, is how did Darth Vader become Darth Vader? There are things that happen in your life that turn you black, you know, turn your heart black. And we saw the governor's moment last night when he lost his daughter. And by the way, I can almost I think I felt a little sympathy for him because he was just a father at that point who was grieving seeing what was happening with Penny. And as crazy as it is, as cruel as it seems to keep her chained up in the basement, basically, you can sort of understand that, yeah, I know she's a walker, but I can't kill her. She's my kid. You sort of at least have some sympathy for the situation he's in, right?
Well, yeah, and it's really the first time that you see him scared,
right?
You know, when he shows up and Michonne has her, and the picture, I think, is a well placed the picture of him with his family from before,
right? Right.
He's obviously a normal guy
with a wife that looks very much like Andrea.
You know? Oh, yeah, that's totally true. Here, could you put this blouse on? Oh. it's just the circumstances kind of drew this out of him, and the rules are different in this world, and now he has, I feel like he pretty much has nothing left that's tethering him to humanity anymore.
Was I the only one that thought that Andrea and Michonne were going to kiss when they were at the standoff? Kiss!
There was a brief second, but no, I just it didn't. But, let's talk about Merle and Daryl.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I want to get into that. This is the voice of Chris Hardwick here on The Kevin Bean Show. He, of course, the host of The Talking Dead, which airs after Walking Dead on AMC. And you have you brought me up to speed on the fact that these characters do not exist in the comic, right? This is something created just for the TV show. So none of us had any idea how this storyline was going to play out, right?
No, they don't. And, you know, one of the things that Kirkman said that he enjoys about writing Merle and Daryl is that, you know, the comic's almost 10 years old, and so this gives them a completely fresh set of characters to write for.
Right.
And so we don't know. Like, there was no real indication other than now that Merle has been ostracized from the group, and you think maybe they're going to embrace each other, but you don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that was how, again, spoiler alert big time from last week.
Spoiler alert.
Is basically they are faced off to fight with one another in front of all of Woodbury, and you don't know whether they're going to accept that and go, all right, one of us is going to live, one of us is going to die, or if they're going to go, hey, I'm not going to fight the dude, he's my brother. We have no idea. They've been apart for so long. They've had such completely different experiences. Who knows what each thinks about the other? What a great way to leave it on a cliffhanger.
But wasn't there also the option that they're both killed?
Well, that is also the option.
I mean, you don't know.
I really hope that's not the case.
I do, too.
They took, like watching him take a Merle's stump sword off. I was like, oh, no.
Imagine how crazy this conversation sounds to people who don't watch The Walking Dead.
I know,
by
you don't
way.
Know. Someone tweeted in about the show last night that if you put Merle, Herschel, and the governor together, you have an actual pirate.
Well, we can't wait until February 10th when it comes back. And I guess you announced last night, Chris, and this is great news for people who have been late to the party, that they are going to be doing a marathon of every Walking Dead episode starting on New Year's Eve and going through New Year's Day, right?
In order, which is awesome.
That's true. Yeah, we announced that, and we announced that Talking Dead is now moving to right after the first the premiere airing of The Walking Dead. We were after the repeat, and now we're right after the first airing, and we're going to an hour long.
Wow!
So we can have more fan interaction and you know, like, get more people on the show, and so that's going to happen when the show comes back too.
Well, you do race through that half hour the way it is to try
so
to get
fast.
Everything in.
I know, it's so fun. We have, like, you know, 4 to 6 minutes for a segment, and then there's clips and polls, and
yep.
And so this will give the show a little more room to breathe, and kind of like our online after show. It's really just a conversation.
Right.
It's not the TV version.
Right.
Well, there are very few shows that demand immediate conversation afterwards, but The Walking Dead is definitely one of it. And you have been doing a great job on The Talking Dead. Very excited
to hear that
it's coming back. February 10th, Walking Dead at AMC, and then, as Chris mentioned, a full hour of The Talking Dead right afterward. You should be following the man on Twitter at The Nerdist. And also, the website is Nerdist.com with so much great stuff coming up. Chris, we probably won't talk to you again before the holidays, man, but thanks for all your support from 2012.
Yeah.
I look forward to doing it again next year.
Thanks. Happy holidays. Talk to you next year, guys.
Justin tweets us to the @KevinandBean account, by the way. Walking to first period this morning, couldn't stop but thinking, it's fruitcake. Thanks a lot, guys. So I think we have affected our first listener for the holiday season.
What you making? Fruitcake.
Had to bust that out this morning now that December's here. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the beat, how about this for a gift? If you are, like me, a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, this will be good news for you. They are releasing Tarantino 20, Tarantino XX, the new Blu-ray box set, which contains...
It's porn?
No, it's triple X. This is two X's. This is a celebration of Quentin's 20 years as a filmmaker. Here's what you get. It's an 8-film collection, including Reservoir Dogs.
Great.
True Romance.
Great.
Pulp Fiction.
Great.
Inglorious Bastards.
Do I need to keep saying it?
No, we understand. He makes great movies. I'm looking forward to this Django Unchained, too.
Me
this
too.
Looks awesome. If you're a fan like I am, then you're going to want to own this box set. Look, even if you're not a fan and you know someone it is, it makes a great Christmas gift. Here you go. I've got two to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067 to call in that number. The first two callers to get through with that number will be the proud owners of a brand new Tarantino XX box set. That's almost too good a gift for you people.
It is.
But I will gladly give it to you. Here's the other films included. Jackie Brown.
Yep.
Which I love.
Love it. Love it.
Death Proof, his film from Grindhouse. Mm-hmm. Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2. All done in high def, 10-disc set. That's got tons of bonus material. In fact, 5 hours of all new bonus material.
Wow.
If you like me, you like the extras in a DVD, then this is the box set for you. So check it out. It's available now. If you can't win it, you can buy it. But... I'm looking forward to...
I probably shouldn't say this, but one of you guys already has that in your Christmas,
what?
Christmas stocking. Yeah, one of you guys does that.
Does it help to say one of us, or can you just say one?
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this without giving it away. You know?
Well, if I was going to buy it for myself, would you say I should probably hold off on that decision?
I was going to suggest that both of you should probably just wait until after the holidays to see
okay.
if
no, but then only
brings
one of
you
us
one.
Is going to get it, and then one of us is disappointed.
Right. Then one of us is on Christmas Day is going to go, stupid
no,
bean.
I got nothing to watch.
But I don't want to spoil it. I want to spoil the gift, though. So I'm trying
you
to figure
You just
out.
Spoiled
it's
it.
Spoiled it. We both know one or the other is going to get it.
And then we know if
and
we
the
don't
other
get it.
Get something crappy.
Right.
Yeah. One of us is,
so we all lose.
One of us is getting a ShamWow.
Right.
The other one's getting a Blu-ray box set.
I'd just like to suggest that I wouldn't use a ShamWow, Bean.
Okay.
I would like to suggest that I got Bean maybe the best Christmas gift he's ever gotten in his life.
Wow.
Dude. Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Saying something.
Yeah.
Huh.
I want to make sure he opens it in the air. We gotta get it up to him there.
Okay.
Are you working at all this month, Bean, or are you taking this month off?
No, I'm the guy who's showing up.
Oh, that's
up,
right. The other one's taking this month off. All right. Well, we'll talk about it more when
is that a kidney?
It is. It's a brand new artificial kidney to replace the one he gave up. While we're talking about movies, top 10 movies at the box office, we do it every Monday morning. Here's what made what. Twilight, Break and Dawn Part 2, in its third week, made $17.4 million. Not a big week at the box office, but good enough to make it number one. Skyfall, the new James Bond thriller, made $17 million, just behind Twilight, made it number two. Then Lincoln, Anyone seen that Lincoln yet? I'm dying to see Lincoln. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Great.
Yeah, I bet it is. Rise of the Guardians 3D and Life of Pi. That's your top five. Wreck-It Ralph, Killing Them Softly, Red Dawn, Flight, and The Collection are your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Tonight, if you're a music fan, you may want to check out David Letterman. On the show tonight will be the surviving three members of Led Zeppelin. Together again for the first time in I don't know how long.
I don't remember the last time they were on television together.
I don't either. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones. They won't be performing, but apparently they will talk to Dave. Last night, they were part of the 35th annual Kennedy Center Honors in Washington, D.C., and they were presented medals by President Obama. I wonder if when Led Zeppelin started, they ever thought they'd be getting medals from the President of the United States.
Probably not.
I'm guessing not. They're more worried about where to put that mud shark. If you know that story at all, you're getting a big laugh this morning. While we're talking about
music.
The
rest of you, not so much.
Not so much. While we're talking about music, this Alice Cooper just couldn't be hotter. Just couldn't be more on fire.
I'm sorry?
Alice Cooper his career could not have be any hotter than it is right now.
What's he
doing? Well, first of all, I told you last week he was inducted into the Knife Throwers Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So he's got that going for him. I don't mean his music career. I mean his knife throwing career is red hot.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize. Yeah. Okay.
But he was performing at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles last Thursday night, and a guy walked up on stage and put on a guitar and started playing along with Alice Cooper's band. Played about 8 songs until Alice finally decided to introduce the gentleman to the band. Guy took off his hat. It was Johnny Depp.
What?
Johnny Depp sitting in with the Alice Cooper band.
Is there nothing he can't do?
He's a pretty good guitarist. You know, he wanted to be a rock star before he ever wanted to be an actor. He was a musician a long time in Florida before he started to get into acting. But he always wanted to be a superstar in the music business, and it didn't quite happen. But he sits in with his friends from time to time. I'm assuming Alice and Johnny became friends on the set of Dark Shadows. I don't know if you saw that film or not, but Alice Cooper has a role in that. He plays himself. And pretty cool. I guess go to an Alice Cooper show and see Johnny Depp up there jamming with the band. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Seyfried celebrates her 27th birthday today. She's soon to be seen in Les Miserables. And, of course, she was in the Mamma Mia movie. And you know her from Big Love. Talented actress.
Beautiful girl.
And very beautiful, yeah. Anna Chomsky. She's 32 years old today. Holly Marie Combs. She was the nice one on Charmed. I did
not
that show.
Bitch.
I did that show a couple episodes. I did a couple episodes
That's
of that
right.
show.
That's right.
And the only one of the sisters who would talk to me, spend time. She hung out. We had coffee. We chatted. She was very kind and welcoming to me.
And the other ones?
The other two whores. So I always have a soft spot for Holly Marie Combs. She's 39 years old today. Brendan Fraser, 44 years old. Julianne Moore is 52. Daryl Hannah, 52 as well. Ozzy Osbourne, the legend, is 64. And professional skateboarder Bucky Lassick is 40 years old today.
Bucky Lassick!
Wait. Could I hear that again, please, Bean?
No, you can't.
Oh, he's playing you off.
Cat's playing you off. And rightly so. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
1 hour away from you winning your way into this weekend's shows, the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Cruise to Christmas. We'll have those tickets for you in the pit and backstage passes at 9:10. This hour, Andrew Siciliano talks all the NFL action over the weekend, and we'll talk to Lux, Miss Double December 2013. It's all coming up. First, Ralph, you have a Christmas present for our listeners right now.
Yeah, you know, when I think about the legendary cinematic franchises that have inevitably dropped in quality as they went on. The Star Wars films, the Star Trek films, the last Indiana Jones films. It seems like great cinematic minds, great filmmakers will inevitably disappoint you if you follow their franchises long enough. You know who does not disappoint? Our mother effing Kelly. That's who doesn't disappoint. R. Kelly is back with a brand new passel of chapters for his Trapped in the Closet franchise, and I'm telling you, the man hasn't lost a step.
Now, how many chapters are out now?
Well, I think IFC played all of the new chapters back-to-back-to-back-to-back on the Friday after Thanksgiving, sometimes known as Black Friday. No, just coincidentally. Sure. And I'm going to break them down as we go forward through the rest of the year, one by one.
Love it.
This morning, I'd like to take a look at chapter number 24.
You
may remember there were 22 chapters in the original series. And then he teased us with Chapter 23, which was basically a teaser trailer, if you will, of the upcoming episodes. Mostly about people getting phone calls. That's what that was all about. Yeah. Mysterious phone calls.
This whole thing is just an elaborate AT&T commercial. That's all that's happening here, right?
Well, they all seem to get good service. I know that much. Yeah. This kicks us off where we deal with the first of the mysterious phone calls. You may remember Twan, the no-good criminal brother of...
How do you catch up on all that? I forget who he was the brother of.
But anyway, he's a no-good Nick, in my opinion.
Sure.
He's a bit of a criminal. And he gets a mysterious phone call offering a lot of money to do some sort of criminal act, which we can't quite ascertain from this chapter because, you know, R. Kelly, he doesn't give you all the facts at once. He likes to just let little tidbits sort of dribble out chapter by chapter. But they're sitting in a barbershop, Twan and Sylvester, you may remember him as well, watching a basketball game that Twan has some money on. Okay. And he gets very excited about the play in the basketball game. Sylvester, not quite as excited because Twan's jumping around the barbershop and Sylvester has he's getting a straight razor cut.
Ah.
He's got a razor near his head and this guy's jumping all around.
Damn, you see that dunker? Off the chain, now that's what I'm talking about. Looks like your boy Twan is about to get paid. Go head on, tell him Sylvester, that was furious. You see this razor to my head, you better back up, it ain't that serious. Oh my bad,
oh my bad. It's bad. He realizes he was in the wrong there. And Sylvester, you know, he's sort of the boss man. He's calling the shots.
This is real, people.
This exchange made the song, right? This made the cut. He said, yes,
that's
I'm going to put this in.
That's what gets us locked into the storyline. Someone apologizing for cheering on a basketball game too furiously.
And we'll say it again. The first 22 chapters, a great Christmas gift if you haven't seen them yet.
They really are. DVD. Now, meanwhile, across town, Pimp Lucius, Lucius the stuttering pimp,
sure,
is also walking the streets with his hoes, with his girls, and he's got some problems. He's got money problems, and he's telling them all to in case you can't understand what Pimp Lucius is saying, because he does have a pronounced speech impediment. He's telling them all to huddle up, especially one of his girls, an Asian hooker,
yes,
who happens to be blind.
Oh, come on.
A blind Asian hooker whose street name is apparently Nocia.
Because she Nocia.
That's not real. Her hooker name is Nocia.
I love her so much.
Here's Pimp Lucius.
While Twan sits down in a chair and gives Sylvester what he calls the script, let's take it out to the streets where Pimp Lucius is with his hoes on the strip. Ha, ha. Ha,
Hoddle.
Hoddle. Go. I say, bitch, it's hoddle. Listen to me now. Somebody grab no seal and turn her ass around.
See,
she's facing the wrong way.
She's facing the wrong way. She's not huddling. Pimp Lucius. Everyone's trying to huddle up, and she's looking the opposite direction from where Pimp Lucius is.
Because she can't see.
And apparently she can't hear very well either, because you think she'd know where the voice was coming from. But she doesn't. Now, here, Pimp Lucius tries to explain his money problems to his hoes.
Now, Pimp Lucius is at a loss, and somebody got to pay the cost. One of you bitches been coming up shout. And I ain't no dummy. Bitch, better have my
money.
Your money.
Y'all know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what he's saying. You can't quite get money out, but you know what he's saying. So as Sylvester and Twan are leaving the barber shop, they finally start talking about this mysterious phone call that Twan got and what the person on the other end was trying to get him to do.
Now Sylvester and Twan is leaving about the barbershop, continuing the conversation about the mysterious phone call that they both got. So I'm like, how much am I getting paid? You know what I'm saying? After that, what did they say? Man, they was on some more, ask a couple questions about some people. Wait, did they say my name? Man, no. Why? Cause I got the same phone call. Uh-oh. Some guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sound kinda like he funny.
Yeah.
But I don't care as long as I get this money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you already know. Wait a minute. What?
I'm confused. What?
What? Wait a minute. What does Sylvester see down the street? Well, he sees stuttering Pimp Lucius.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Sylvester and Lucius went to high school together.
All right.
Now, Sylvester sees Pimp Lucius coming with his hoes, including Nocia. And he
wants to try to duck out because every time he sees Lucius, Lucius is coming up to him asking for money. Obviously, there's some sort of a relationship there based on an old friendship, and Sylvester doesn't feel like dealing with it. But before they can duck away, Pimp Lucius recognizes Sylvester and engages him in conversation.
You know I gets my pimping out. Oh, that you do. Yeah, I be pimping all these out. Fool, that was way back in high school. You knows I get my pimp. Wait. Wait, 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 wait.
What?
Sylvester, is that you?
Know what I'm saying?
By the way, R. Kelly, no one who stutters entire words. You don't go, you. That's just repeating. That's not stuttering. Here's the thing. Lucius and Sylvester start talking, but then Tuan gets involved. He doesn't like the way Lucius is treating his boy Sylvester.
Uh-oh.
And so threatens him with physical violence. Lucius, by the way, considers himself quite a handy with the fisticuffs himself and threatens Tuan right back.
What up, Lucius? That's Pimp Lucius. Don't get it twisted. Man, he can call you whatever the hell he wants. Ain't nobody talking to you, macho man. When you Don Juan knock off, man, I will bust a cap to Juan.
What's happening?
You don't want none of this, motherfucker. I will kick your face off. Hit you in your face with your face.
What? I will kick your face off and hit you in your face with your face.
How do you hit someone in their face with their face?
I can't imagine how that's even physically possible.
It isn't.
But Pimp Lucius threatens him with a face beating with his own face.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
But at least it makes for a good rhyme and an excellent, excellent part of the song. And when it's all over, Sylvester and Tuan decide to walk away from a fight with Lucius and go get something to eat. And since Tuan is the big winner from the basketball game earlier in the chapter, he decides he should pay.
That man, never mind that fool. Besides, I'm hungry. Let's go get a meal on you. What? You don't want with all the money. Yeah, but I pay for your haircut. Yeah, I'ma call you Donald Trump right now. Yes, Sylvester, you real funny.
Oh, that's Sylvester. So what have we learned in chapter 24?
I don't know.
Not a goddamn thing.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us in about 15 minutes or so to talk about the craziest NFL weekend I can ever remember. So many bizarre games. First, though, let's flash back briefly to this past Friday. We were down at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Thanks again for hosting us down there and the thousands of Kevin and Bean fans that showed up for Miss Double December 2013. We had the pageant. We announced a winner. Lux is our winner. She's going to be wearing the crown. We've got her on the phone. We're going to talk to her and find out what her first weekend reigning was like.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Hey, Lux.
Good morning.
Lux, hello. Lux, Lux.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited.
Goodness. We're so excited to have you. You know, it was weird. You were the first contestant ever, correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, that I remember who was a repeat contestant, the first person who kind of came back after being in the, you know, in the pageant the year before. And you won it. Did you? What was your strategy? I mean, did you think, "Hey, I'm going to keep entering this goddamn thing until I win"? Because it worked.
No, I mean, honestly, there was no strategy. There wasn't any expectations. I really just did it because a lot of people who had seen me enter in last year and they supported me last year. I got enough emails and tweets and comments on Facebook for me to be like, okay, maybe I should just consider re-entering. It was so much fun last year. I did this completely for fun this year. And, you know, I had everyone's full support and love. And, you know, now that I won, I'm just, oh my goodness. I kind of wasn't expecting to win. I just really just re-entered just for fun.
Because it was fun.
You know, and
well, that's a great attitude, Lux. And you're absolutely right that you were, I mean, you did gain so many fans from the pageant last year. There were so many people who just fell in love with you. I mean, you know, people are generally happy with who we choose, and they loved Joanna. People really enjoyed Joanna as Miss Double December last year, but there were a lot of Lux fans, too, who were super disappointed, you know? So it's nice what was Friday like for you? Was it, what was it like with all the girls and everything like that? Was it similar to your first experience?
Yes, absolutely. No, all the girls were so lovely, and, you know, everyone got along, you know, famously backstage, and, you know, there were no diva attitudes. Everyone got along, you know, everyone's, like, you know, helping everyone else get ready, you know, so it was, like, it was, you know, everything that I could have hoped for, you know, and more since last year, except for this year, the weather was...
Yeah, it was a little more wet.
It was a little bit more wet, a little bit more cold.
Yeah.
Lots of tent pitching.
There was a lot of tent pitching. That's for damn sure. Right about that. Kevin, didn't you tell me, though, that at one point there were a couple girls in the bathroom together? Was that good or bad in the bathroom together?
No, that was later in the morning, and it was almost bad.
Really?
There was a lot of drama afterwards, but before and during, it was a pretty drama-free day. I sent Chip in.
But I didn't ask.
Yeah.
What about as Miss Double December? And by the way, this is the voice of Lux, who you should definitely be following on Twitter. It's at Luxibu, LuxiBoo. Trust me on this. Her website is ilovelux.com. She's a very accomplished model and stunt motorcyclist. She does all sorts of crazy stuff. She won tickets to both nights of the sold out 23rd annual K Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Tickets to next summer's Weenie Roast, all the Kevin and Bean events in 2013 as the official Miss Double D representative, $500 gift certificate to Pinup Girl Clothing. And we didn't put this in the official rules, but you also got humped by comedian Brad Williams. Tell me about that, Lux.
That was the best part. I mean, you know, what a great surprise.
It was such a surprise. The look on your face, the look on Lux's face when Brad went to town.
The look
was,
on Brad's face.
What the F is going on right now? It was great.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I waited until he was done.
You right? did. You gave him his space. You let him finish up.
He was done.
Yeah. All right. You go, boy. Okay.
And by the way, you know, Brad, this may be no surprise to say, he is not a tall person, but him humping you is like watching a squirrel on a tree. I mean, how tall are you, Lux? Because you're so much bigger than Brad is.
Well, I'm 5'8", and then I was wearing very high heels on stage. So yes, it was. I'm sure it was very interesting and very entertaining to watch. But I liked it. Hey,
hey, why not?
It was hilarious.
And by the way, there's a video recap. If you go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com, you can watch video highlights of the entire thing. I know we got a bunch of email from people saying we got stuck in traffic, we had to work. What happened? Aww. You know, they wanted some kind of a recap. Well, they put up a video recap so you can watch highlights of the entire morning if you go to kevinandbean.com.
Okay. As well you should. I mean, it really is. It's so much fun for us to, you know, to welcome somebody new into the family. And it really, I mean, it's great that we kind of kept in touch with, you know, previous Miss Double D's. We still hear from Danielle every once in a while and from Christine and everything. And it's just fun. It's fun to have hot chicks as part of the family.
It's the only way that we can make it happen.
Exactly. Because otherwise hot chicks won't hang out with us, Lux. We have to bribe them so much to get them to hang out with us. So we're super psyched about seeing you this weekend. You're going to be wearing your crown and your sash when we see it Acoustic Christmas this weekend, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And I know that you know, lots of people come up and they want to take their picture and stuff like that. And I saw you on Friday. It seemed like you were very gracious and enjoying meeting your subject. So congratulations once again for being Miss Double December 2013. We can't wait to hang out with you next year, my dear.
Great. Thank you. I'm so excited. Thanks, guys.
A lot of things I look forward to on Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show. None more than catching up with our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of the DirecTV Red Zone channel, and also the NFL Total Access Monday through Thursday on the NFL Network. Hi, Andrew. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. I look forward to two things. Number one, talking to you guys. And number two, sitting in L.A. morning rush hour in the rain.
You yes. love it.
Nothing better.
You've said that many times. You love that.
Well, it was definitely the best of times and worst of times this weekend. First of all, some of the most exciting gridiron action I can ever recall on a Sunday. So many crazy late victories, last second wins, overtimes. And then, of course, the worst of times was that tragedy in Kansas City that happened on Saturday. I have to get your thoughts, Andrew, because I haven't talked to you since. Was it the right decision for that Kansas City-Carolina game to go on after what happened?
Well, explain what happened for people that don't know.
Okay, for those that don't know, a man named Javon Belcher, who is a good story, or was a very good story in his own right. He was a kid from New York who never really played football until later in high school, was an All-American wrestler, went to Maine, and then somehow got into the NFL as an undrafted free agent, a success story, had a nice four-year career in the league. For whatever reasons known only to himself, early Saturday morning, murdered, police say, his girlfriend and mother of their three-month-old daughter.
Wow.
He then proceeded, after murdering his girlfriend, police say, in front of his mother, who was in town to see the baby, went to the practice facility, which is at the stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs, and after having a conversation with the coach, Romeo Crennel, and the general manager, Scott Pioli, who had helped bring him into this league, thanked them both for the opportunity and killed himself in front of those two men in the parking lot of the team facility.
That is craziness on a level that you never see.
I mean, really, when you think about it, there are probably, and actually there are, stories like this across America, whether they be in schools or in department stores
right.
or in post offices or in God knows what. But we probably don't give them the attention they deserve. And I think that was something Brady Quinn, the Chiefs quarterback, said after the game yesterday. And that is, we say hi to people, we ask them how they're doing, but do we truly listen to their answer? Do we truly care what their answer is? And when we respond in kind about our feelings, are we being forthright and are we really sharing anything? Not that that would have changed what Javon Belcher did.
So there was some talk of canceling the game?
Well, that's what the fans immediately said. Look, you can't ask the coach who just witnessed one of his players commit suicide in front of him. You can't ask him to go out there and coach a bunch of guys who have just lost somebody. His jersey's still hanging in the locker room. How do you go out there and play football less than 24 hours later? A lot of people thought it was outrageous that that game went forward.
What if I told you they played, if not their best, then their second best game of the year?
Yeah, that was the crazy part. They ended up winning.
And did they say it was because they wanted a distraction? I mean, usually you do want a distraction at some point, but you've barely begun to mourn at that point the next morning, Andrew.
They used exactly those words, not only distraction, but we need to do this and we will mourn on Sunday night. And the outpouring of emotion from that team afterwards. Listen, the team voted. The team captains got together and they voted. They wanted to play this game. And that's what they did. And the coach who witnessed it all got them together and they talked about it on Saturday. He got them together on Sunday and they went out there. There was a moment of silence. I thought the Chiefs handled this part of it very well. They had a moment of silence before the game, but they did not mention either the player or the girlfriend's name. Her name, by the way, and it needs to be said repeatedly because she was a huge part of the story. Her name is Cassandra Perkins, and I believe the baby's name, who is now without parents, I believe her name is Zoe, if I recall
Zoe.
Correctly.
That's correct. Yes,
I got that wrong.
Yeah, they made a moment of silence for all domestic violence victims, rather than just to hold him up as some sort of a hero or anything like that, or some sort of fallen soldier. I mean, they definitely kept the focus on the problem, which I agree. I think they handled that very, very well. It gave me a bad taste. It was almost like I felt like we were talking about an iPod factory in China where somebody dies on the production line and they whip everybody else around them a little bit harder to keep working. You know?
Yeah, and that's a fair point. You're not wrong. Boy, I would never tell you that you were wrong, but you're not wrong to say that you had a bad taste in your mouth. There are plenty who had a bad taste in their mouth. I can tell you this, though. The team wanted to play. From all I hear, they wanted to play. Now, how they deal with this week moving forward, I don't know how anyone deals with those emotions. I mean, we saw a picture of Romeo Crennel, the coach, walking into the stadium yesterday. That's how we opened our show on DirecTV yesterday. And the first words out of my mouth, the first thing that I thought of, which is, I have no way. I can't even think. What did I say? I said, it is beyond me how that man can coach a football team today.
I agree. How do you get out of bed after witnessing something like that? That is an image that's going to be with him for the rest of his life. For 40 years, he'll be thinking about that moment.
He is not describing the encounter to anyone other than the police. He has very calmly and politely said, I will not discuss it. He did give one quote to Peter King from Sports Illustrated, simply, I couldn't reach the young man.
Wow.
And
I
believe he meant in their discussion at the time, not overall, because, look, everyone's got problems, but no one had circled. From what we know now, it may come out later that, you know, there are stories, but no one had circled Javon Belcher as a problem.
Not
player
at all. Right. Not at all.
Had to watch out for because he was erratic.
Well, I wish we had more time, Andrew, because as I mentioned when we brought you on, it was, am I wrong about this? Was it one of the most exciting days for NFL play that you can ever recall in one day?
Yeah, I mean, just look at the Colts game. Look, Andrew Luck has now won 8 games. The Colts are in the thick of a playoff. And on the very final play of the game, it's either you get in or you don't get in. He threw a touchdown at the one of the game.
Again, the clock had run out.
The clock had run out.
Yeah.
And in overtime in Chicago, Russell Wilson, I know you love this, threw the touchdown to Sidney Rice to win the game in overtime in Chicago, sudden death, and Sidney Rice got knocked out on the play. He caught the ball, got into the end zone,
wow,
and was out cold on the floor, but they won the game, and then he got up a minute later and walked off.
And asked what happened.
They wouldn't even let him off the ground, Kevin. The medical staff just ran out there and made him stay down on the ground. Before it had even been ruled a touchdown because he was clearly unconscious. I mean, it was just crazy. And then we looked like we were almost going to have another tie in that San Francisco-St. Louis game. It looked like they were going to play another 15 minutes and ended a tie. And then that, with 30 seconds left, that one was decided. And then the craziness with Sanchez getting pulled and the third stringer going in. And then the third stringer in Pittsburgh winning that game. It was just insane. It's too much for me, Andrew. I can't take your league anymore.
Let me leave you with this, if we're truly out of time. The back page of the New York Post today, as Mark Sanchez gets benched, the back page headline is Sanchez with his head down, and it says, "Sit for San."
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
I'm sorry. Yep. Do it again. I missed that.
It says, "Sit for San."
Yeah. Sid hits the sand, I think is what it's saying. Sid hits the sand.
I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Sid hits the sand.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's a stretch. Yeah. That's a terrible, terrible stretch. Well, lots to discuss on the NFL Total Access program this afternoon at 4 on the NFL Network. And, of course, Mr. Siciliano is the host of the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays, too. I hope you get where you're going in that rain today, man. Thanks for joining us on Kevin and Bean Show.
Just pulled in. Love you guys.
Hope you both appreciate, by the way, Andrew Siciliano not bringing up any 8-game losing streaks last, from yesterday when we were talking about the games that were going on.
Yeah.
That would really upset me if I found out that.
I'm just saying.
Well, but tough. The Cardinals, at least your team scored. Cardinals lost
most
to the Jets
of the season.
7-6.
Most points of the season last night, the Eagles scored.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow. It's very, very rare to see a losing streak like that from any team. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you really, really have to make an effort at sucking in order for that to happen. That's true.
Hey, do we need to open up the phones here for people who want to win tickets to join us this weekend? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we do.
Let's open up those phones.
Sold out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is happening this Saturday and Sunday. We've got pit tickets and backstage passes. If I understand correctly, we've got a rock expert named Rodney Bingenheimer joining us in studio who can answer questions about anybody on the bill for either night. Do I have that right?
He is sort of a genius, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You, the listener, have to come up with the question, and then if you can stump Rodney, we'll put you in the drawing, and then somebody will win the tickets.
So if you've got a trivia question about the Killers or Linkin Park or Rise Against or Bush, Garbage, whoever it is that you have a question about, try to stump Rodney, you'll win your way in. That's coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Thank you so much. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, once again, number one, $17.4 million in its third week of release. I'm surprised it dropped off that much in just the third week. I thought it would be even more with the Twilight going back and back. And it's made a lot of money so far, yeah, but I thought it would do even stronger. Skyfall was just about the same number, $17 million, made it number two. Lincoln was third, then Rise of the Guardians 3D and Life of Pi. Wreck-It Ralph was sixth, Killing Them Softly, the new Brad Pitt assassin movie, $7 million, made it number seven. Red Dawn, Flight, and The Collection, rounding out the top ten at the box office over the weekend. Congratulations. Hugh Hefner and Crystal Harris are engaged again.
Yeah, that's a good question. Congratulations.
You may remember the name Crystal Harris because she was engaged to Hugh Hefner before. In 2011, she called off their marriage at the very last minute, and she left him and was S-talking him on the radio, saying that the sex was no good and he was too old and what was I thinking, and she was never really in love with him. Well, apparently they are getting married on New Year's Eve. They're back together again.
Okay.
Here's my theory. Yes, Hugh Hefner is now so old that he forgot he ever met Crystal Harris.
Who are you? What's your name?
And they all look alike. So many of those playmates look alike. He met her at a party this year and said, "Hey, you're kind of hot. What's your name, Crystal? Oh, nice to meet you." And he's married. He has no idea this is the same girl.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
This girl broke his elderly heart. Yeah. By walking out on him basically at the altar.
And very publicly.
And humiliated him. And he's Hugh Hefner. He's an old man who young hot chicks will still have sex with. How many old men can say that? It's like him and Nicholson. Those are the only two old men I can think of that women will gladly and willingly have sex with them.
And Rodney.
Oh, Rodney Bingenheim, sure, too. Well, it's because he's got that GTO. That's a chick magnet. Does he still have that, or was that stolen?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
And lastly, you have to be careful how you tweet, people. I've said this over and over and over again on this show.
I've never heard you say that.
Watch your tweets. This is a great story. Susan Boyle, remember her? She won Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was all the rage for a couple of weeks.
Because she was a phenomenon. Yeah. She was this dowdy, hideous old spinster from Scotland who walked out on stage on Britain's Got Talent.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Everyone was laughing at her when she said she wanted to sing a song, and they were all ready to mock her. And then she opened her mouth, and this amazing voice of an angel came out.
And let me surprise both of you guys by telling you that she still continues to release records that still sell tremendously well.
What? Because she's an enormous talent. She's a remarkable singer.
Those older artists, though, that people will still go out and buy her records. You know, she has those fans who still buy music. She's still making bank.
Okay, I don't know that we need that.
That kind of stuff. Anyway, she's got a brand new album out called Standing Ovation, The Greatest Songs from the Stage, which makes sense because she sings great Broadway tunes. And they were, as you can imagine, her publicists were putting it out on Twitter to try to promote and drum up support for the new CD. So much so that they wanted to tout the listening party that they staged for people who wanted to hear their first opportunity to hear the songs off of Standing Ovation, her new CD. And so when they were trying to drum up support for Susan's listening party, they hashtagged it Susan Album Party. So all the tweets were closed off with hashtag Susan Album Party.
Okay.
Now here's the thing. When you hashtag something, you don't capitalize. You just run all the words together.
Right.
So
no spaces.
For everyone who read hashtag Susan Album Party, they read Sue's Anal Bum Party. People were incensed to read that Susan Boyle was having some sort of anal bum party.
Oh, I don't want to have an anal bum party with her.
Nope. And Twitter blew up and everyone was complaining.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
The PR team quickly deleted their tweets, replacing it with Susan Boyle Album Party, capitalizing Susan Boyle Album and Party, just to make sure there was no more confusion. But for a couple days there, everyone thought Susan Boyle was putting it out. She was Butthole Week over at Susan Boyle's house.
That's how you get the younger fans, though, over music, is have an anal bum party.
Sue's Anal Bum Party. Now, I wasn't going to go, but now I know.
You seen that bum?
I had a dream, I dreamed a dream. That's why she can hit those high notes.
I'm awesome.
Ralph Garman. We got some birthdays, but I'm
birthdays.
Out of time. I'm out of time.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's finally here. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday night at the Gibson, it's the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Shows. As you know, we give you tickets every day at this time, also at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Pit tickets and backstage passes all week long. It's time to Stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig-wham, bam.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Nope.
No, K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean.
Is that time of year again?
It is. It's Christmas, Rodney.
Don't eat those apples with razor blades.
That's Halloween. That's a different
time. Halloween. Up. No time kids came to my house last night.
Rodney has worked at K-Rock forever and is an expert, I believe, in the 80s,
all
some
right,
of the 90s.
I love the 80s.
But,
I hate the 90s.
You hate the 90s, right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep it straight.
Where are you on the 2010s, though, like this decade? Because that's
right.
Who most of the people are going to be asking your questions about.
2010. All right.
This decade. Are you familiar with, like, if people ask you questions about Linkin Park and the Killers and bands like that, you're down with them, too, right?
All right. Daniel Day-Lewis is Linkin Park. All right.
Okay. You're confused a little bit about the movie. So here's the way it's going to work here, Rodney, if you don't mind. We're going to go to the callers. They're going to ask you a trivia question about one of the bands that's playing the show this weekend.
I know everything.
I know you do.
All
and
right.
They're going to try to stump you. If they, for some reason, they get past you, if they come up with a question you don't know the answer to, they go into the drawing to win the tickets, okay?
That's Godhead.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't we start? Rat. Let's start with Armando on line one, just because I think he has the easiest possible question, and you've had some trouble in the past with some of these. This will get us off to the right foot because I know that you know this.
All right,
Armando.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. Stump Rodney.
All right, Rodney. Who is Gavin Rossdale married to?
Who is Gavin Rossdale married to? Belinda Carlisle. Lead singer of the Go-Go's.
No.
Okay, that's not really your guess, though, is it, Rodney?
No, I was just kidding.
Okay, okay, good. Gavin Rossdale from Bush is married to a very, very famous person who's also a singer. Who is that, Rodney?
Sheena Easton.
Is it Sheena Easton, Armando?
No, it's Gwen Stefani.
Sheila E.
No, he just said Gwen Stefani.
Samantha
he
Fox?
He just said the
Gwen
answer.
Gwen Stefani. Doesn't that sound familiar to you, Rodney? She's one of the most famous people in the world.
Kim Carnes.
Okay. Hold on, Armando.
Betty Davis.
Let's go to Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Kim Wilde. Kim Wilde.
Stop making guesses,
it's
Rodney.
Money.
All right, Dennis. Stump Rodney.
Kate Bush.
Can you let us know where the Killers are originally from?
The Killers. Where are they from, Rodney?
There you go. Pretty easy question, Rodney.
Berlin.
Why would you say
All right. Sex, I'm a...
It's a different band, Berlin. We're talking about the Killers. Dennis, where are the Killers from, please?
Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
Well, of course they're from Las Vegas. All right,
Kansas?
You're in the drawing, too.
He's Kansas? Just said
he
Vegas.
Told you.
Did you hear the word Vegas?
Carry on my wayward
okay.
son.
let's see. Let's go to Enrique. Hi.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Stump Rodney.
Boston. Boston's good. Another band with him.
Good luck.
My question for Rodney is, where did M83 get their name from?
Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
Is that
okay,
correct,
you're
Enrique?
You're just naming another group, though. You're not answering his question. Where did think about it, Roddy. Where
right.
did M83
right.
get their band name from? M83.
From Kid Creole.
Why would that be your guess again? We just told you that was wrong. Enrique, what's the answer?
For the guy from the galaxy, Mezzer 83.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
That makes as much sense as Kid Creole and the Coconuts, I'll tell you that. All right, let's try, let's go back, let's go to Alex. Alex
Kid
on
Creole
line
and the
eight.
Coconut.
No, Alex on line 8 has a question. Again, I think you should know we're stumping Rodney or trying to for tickets for Acoustic Christmas. Good luck to you.
All
right.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? What's up, Kevin and Bean and Lisa?
Hello, Alex.
Stump Rodney.
All right.
Here's my question.
All right.
Chester from Linkin Park has a side band called what?
Spandau Ballet.
Do you even think about the answer before you say it, Rodney?
You didn't even have time to process the question.
Sticks.
You think, hold on, you think that Chester from Linkin Park is also in Sticks?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Are any of those
right,
Alex?
I win. What did I win?
You didn't win. That's a buzzer. That's a no
All right.
sound. Alex? The answer,
you guys
please?
Want the answer?
Yes, please.
Dead by Sunrise.
There you go.
Adam and the Ants.
Okay, again,
I don't understand
Rodney,
why you...
you're not...
All right, ABC.
All right, we only have time for one more,
New
I'm
order.
Sorry to say. Let's go
All right,
to...
what did I win?
Let's try Nothing. Matthew. Let's try Matthew on line 7. This is going to be our final question. So far, everybody's in the drawing, so everybody's been able to stump Rodney. Let's see if Matthew can.
All right, Matthew, hi.
Hello.
Stump Rodney, good luck.
What is the name of Rise Against's first album?
Putting on the Ritz. Oh.
Is that correct, Matthew?
No.
No, what is
99
it?
99 Luftballons.
The Unraveling.
The Unraveling.
Whip It.
Okay. You're just... It's not.
I Eat Cannibals.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Roddy
All right,
Armando.
What did I win?
You didn't win anything.
Straight
You got
strut.
Zero right. Enrique, Matthew, and Alex are all in the drawing. Only one can win tickets in the pit and backstage passes to both nights. Lisa May, take it away.
Alex is our winner.
Alex.
Yeah! All right.
Oh, man.
Congratulations, all right. Alex. Congratulations both
all
nights.
All right.
Babe, we're going to Acoustic.
Scritti Politti?
Hey, she's listening.
Don't call Rodney, babe.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean, I don't know if you were watching, but, you know, we talked to Omar Gonzalez last week from the Galaxy.
Uh-huh, sure,
Scored a goal. Scored a goal in the championship.
Woo! Well, there's Woo! No Kevin and Bean curse. That doesn't exist anymore, so stop it, people.
Woo! That's right. Shut up, Ralph.
Woo!
Big celebration.
A goal was scored in soccer. That is worth celebrating.
Big celebration going on tonight at the Home Depot, 7 o'clock.
Did it end a tie?
No, it did not.
What?
No. The Galaxy won the championship.
It was a soccer game. It didn't. Well,
3-1.
You can win. No, you can win in soccer without scoring more goals than the other team.
Not
if
the,
you have the large if you
not
if
in
you
the
way more than
no,
the other team
no, no,
and
no.
there's a tie, but you have the earliest birthday
no.
going by month, then you win. You win and you move on.
That's how they do it in the group stage. But
oh,
this is
I
the
see.
Actual championship.
Oh, I
you
see.
Need a winner.
Okay,
so the Galaxy won, and they're celebrating tonight at Home Depot.
So there are times in soccer where they say, "You know what? We actually need someone to win."
Yes,
before we give them anything.
Not all the time, but there are times.
Yeah, that's one bogus sport you got. Right there, my friend. You enjoy that.
Congratulations to the Galaxy. It is 9:37 now. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat.
I'm not kidding. If it's a tie, they'll let the other team that just because they scored more goals in the past, they'll just let them go ahead, right?
Occasionally.
That'll happen in that sport of yours. That will happen.
Occasionally, it's
it's
they
nuts.
Add up the goals and then they have tiebreakers, away goals, and all kinds of
away goals?
Yes.
More goals scored away than you do at home?
Yes.
F your sport.
I don't make the rules.
Well, it sounds like you do. The way the rules are, it sounds as if you made them up.
In Vegas one night?
Yeah. I think, no, wait. The team who score more goals away from their home, and then they go forward and tie a series. I like drink.
For the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Breaking Dawn Part 2, the final in the Twilight series, came in number one again this week. $17.4 million made it. Skyfall was second, just a hair behind Twilight with $17 million. Lincoln was third. Rise of the Guardians 3D was fourth. Life of Pi was fifth with $12 million. Then Wreck-It Ralph, Killing Them Softly, Red Dawn, Flight, and the new horror movie The Collection in its debut made $3.4 million. That was number 10 at the box office. Congratulations to Ashley and JP.
What's that?
They met and fell in love on The Bachelorette.
Oh.
And they got married this past weekend. Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelorette, was the officiant at the ceremony.
Let me ask you this question, Ralph, because I know nothing about The Bachelorette. Were they a couple that dated on the show and were crowned winners or however that show ends and
yes.
then have been
mm-hmm.
dating all this time? Okay,
yes.
So they weren't just contestants that met. They actually were
JP
the couple that ended up together.
JP proposed to Ashley at the end of her season of The Bachelorette. Got down on
That's
one knee,
rare.
Gave her a ring.
Wow.
And they have stayed together ever since, and they got married in Pasadena on Saturday.
Then he asked somebody else, so they had to go to a tiebreaker.
No,
which
no.
one?
Whoever had the most dates in the past, away from their house, then moved on to the next round. No, it was just one person asking another person. Chris Harrison, as I mentioned, was the officiate at the ceremony. Some fellow bachelorettes like Ali Fedorovsky and Emily Maynard, who are my favorite. They came by
why
to celebrate.
Why weren't you and P there? Why didn't you guys get invited?
I wonder why Chris Harrison would be officiating a wedding and they would have old bachelorettes come by and also be part of the event. Oh, wait a minute. On December the 16th, you can see the ABC special. Featuring not just the wedding, but their bachelor and bachelorette parties and dress shopping.
No way!
So the whole thing was a big TV show.
Is this the same night that the Mario Lopez wedding that you told us earlier about airs?
No, or? That's next Saturday. Let's see.
I see. Okay.
That's too much
that's
entertainment.
15th. That's the 15th.
That's
so
too
you got
much.
Mario Lopez's wedding on the 15th on TLC.
Yeah.
Then on ABC, you'll have JP and Ashley's wedding on Sunday. So you got a whole weekend full of TV weddings for you.
Not wedding. Interested!
Come on.
No thanks.
Brianna Banks, legendary Triple X star. You know, she's in the Hall of Fame. She's a Hall of Famer in that ABN Hall
that.
Of Fame. Yeah, she got into a fender bender in Los Angeles last Wednesday.
She had an anal bum party, did she?
No, that was Susan Boyle.
Oh, sorry.
A concerned bystander called the police to say that they thought Brianna was underneath. Not underneath.
I'm sorry?
Under the influence. Usually she's underneath someone. In this case, she was under the influence. So the cops show up and they found her loaded, driving through the McDonald's drive-thru. Gave her a sobriety test right there and then, and she failed and got booked, got brought downtown. Not in the usual way she gets brought downtown, but she was booked and then released, much to the police's disappointment, I'm sure, because they would like to keep her around for a while.
Sure.
She, not only star of Party Mouth and Butt Floss Chronicles, but also Creme de la Face and Chinny Chinny Bang.
Oh my God. So she has a specialty.
I'm not going to copy that.
Chinny, chinny, bang, bang.
Come on. party
she
bell.
She doesn't have a specialty, by the way.
Oh, really?
Seems like she's it. Like,
those are the movie titles that I can say on the air. She enjoys other aspects.
So you can say creme de la face, but there are others that you can't say?
Yes.
Okay.
Trust me.
Chinny, chinny, bang,
anally
bang.
Submerged. There's two other words in that title. I can't give you that one, but I'm just saying. But she wasn't chinny, chinny, bang, bang. Woo! It's just not going to get better than that, so I'm going to move on with the birthdays right about now. Amanda Seyfried. She's in that Les Miserables movie coming out this Christmas. She was also in Mamma Mia. She specializes in movies made on Broadway musicals, apparently.
Now, Kevin, what's your ruling going to be on Les Mis?
Oh, which come is on, Kevin. You got to go see Les Mis.
All the talk is that this is going to win all the Oscars. Like, it couldn't be any better.
But it's a dream.
A musical. So what do you do with that?
It's not the dream that I was dreaming.
No interest.
And then
Hugh
I dreamed
Jackman.
I had a dream.
Not interested.
But then I dreamed that I was dreaming.
Stop it.
Because I would think that Hugh Jackman would be a plus for you. Russell Crowe would be a plus for you. I mean, those are two great actors.
Not
in this
interested.
Film, right?
Anne Hathaway, Amanda Seyfried. What a cast.
How can you go wrong with this?
Not interested.
What's his face?
Yeah. He's in
Oh, yeah. What's his face? That turns it around for me.
No.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you.
What's the point of this story?
I'm trying to...
the dream that I was living.
Exciting story.
I like to guess whether Kevin will go see a movie or not.
Not interested.
Come on, Kevin.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
It's got that song that Susan Boyle sang.
Right.
Smells like donkey ass.
Right before her anal bum party.
No.
Anna Chomsky, 32 years old today. Actress and dancer Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Oh.
From American Horror Story and Step Up, she's 32 years old today. Dewan. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed and Pretty Little Liars, 39 years old today. Brendan Fraser is 44. He, of course, was George of the Jungle. And in those mummy movies, talented guy. He was in Encino Man. Julianne Moore is 52 years old today. Daryl Hannah is also 52. Ozzy Osbourne, the legend, 64 years old today. How do you celebrate your birthday if you're Ozzy Osbourne?
I don't know.
You've done all the drugs. You drank all the alcohol. You had all the sex.
I think you just stay in bed.
Yeah.
If you're him.
I'm just grateful to be alive.
Yeah. And legendary pro skateboarder Bucky Lassick is 40 years old today.
Bucky Lassick!
Yay!
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Sadie Allison will be here. She's a sex therapist.
Speaking of anal bum parties.
Yes, indeed. we have a special edition of Thanks for that Info Bean.
How dare you?
Most of which was provided during today's show.
How dare you?
Congratulations to him on that.
You know he's feeling better.
And we have Victoria's Secret model, Lily Aldridge, tomorrow talking about...
What?
Yeah, talking
well,
about...
Well, she's one of the pretty ones.
She is, yes.
Man, not like those other dogs.
Talking about the fashion show, which is on tomorrow night. And we've got your tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and...